Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Right now, though, let me get to my guest. We're lucky to have her this morning. Loretta Powers, who's a legal analyst from Fox News with Fox News Radio. Loretta, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Great. It's great to have you on the show again. It has been a while. And, I saw a couple stories that you're covering that I wanted to talk about this morning. We talk about red flag laws a lot because I do a segment every week called 2A, Second Amendment Tuesday. And we've had a lot of discussion over whether or not these red flag laws are effective. And what you've highlighted here is a case out in Seattle, Washington, where someone did get his guns taken away and then ultimately got them back, correct?
That's right. Charles Donnelly, he posted some really disturbing things on social media. He was holding an AK-47-style rifle and with the caption, "Seeing the Joker movie," which we all know from Aurora, Colorado. That was just a poor taste in judgment. Also, he said that he would kill any woman for any reason. But a couple weeks later, after they took their guns away, he said, "Look, I was just kidding." And the judge was like, "Yeah, I think you were just kidding, because the threat wasn't specific or credible enough to warrant us taking away your guns." So the judge gave them back.
So are you raising the question there as to whether or not the red flag law was effective? I mean, it sounds like it worked. They were able to take the guns away, but then he was able to get due process and convince a judge that he deserved to have him back.
Exactly. So what the red flags law do is they basically give everybody a cooling off period. Now, no judge has a crystal ball. Instead, they have the Constitution, and they're always going to err on a person's individual rights. And at the end of the day, though, a lot of people who have their guns taken away, though, cannot afford attorneys to kind of fight these cases. So I think that's very ineffective.
Yeah.
And therefore, their rights are being trampled upon.
And I was surprised when I read at the end of your story on this, that there are 17 states now that have adopted these red flag laws.
And they're thinking about making it a federal law, too. So this is going to affect everybody one day.
Yeah, well, I hope they slow down and look at some of these questions about due process, because that's the thing that they've got to satisfy in the minds of certainly a lot of conservatives before, even if any of them would ever support the idea.
Exactly. And people have analyzed over 185,000 words that mass shooters have put out over the internet. And what they're finding is that they don't tweet things like Charles Donnelly did. What they do is they incite hate speech, and they use really neurotic speech, like always referring to themselves. So I think at the end of the day, they're going to find some sort of algorithm to really pinpoint and narrow down on this.
Yeah. Remains to be seen if they're successful in that, but we'll keep our fingers crossed. The other issue that you brought up here is one that is coming into Missouri right now, and that's medical marijuana. And there's a bill pending down in Florida that would make it illegal to fire an employee, even if company policy says you can't be a marijuana user, if they've got a prescription for medical marijuana, correct?
Correct. It's kind of like a catch-22. You know, maybe being on medicinal marijuana allows you to go out and work and be a productive member of society. But also you have employers saying, not so fast. We don't really want people using marijuana to be on the job. And for certain jobs, I totally get it. We do not want the person working the meat slicer at Arby's to be stoned. Nor do we want, like, 911 dispatchers as well. So they have carved out little examples. And at the end of the day, this medicinal marijuana is going to be everywhere in 5 years. So we really need to start asking these questions, like what kind of rights do people have?
Yeah, true. But, you know, I talked to an HR professional. I interviewed him last year about this, and it's a big quandary for them, because if you're a nationwide company and you've got five or six states that you have plants in and they have recreational marijuana is legal, they've had to put down the law that it doesn't matter if it's legal or not. We're a nationwide company and our policy says no.
Well, a couple months back, the FBI was actually having problems finding computer coders that weren't using recreational marijuana. Kind of funny. So they, you know, if you're working for the FBI, you can't be on marijuana. So they basically had this unspoken rule that they weren't going to drug test the computer coders.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just so they could maintain their workforce. Wow.
Right. So I think we'll be seeing something like that.
That's interesting. Listen, Loretta, I know you've got other interviews you have to do. We appreciate getting you on here this morning. Thank you. In a while. Yeah, you know, that's the thing about it. I don't know that Arby's tests. I mean, she was joking there about you don't want the person running the meat slicer at Arby's to be stoned. Mm-hmm. They might be anyway. you don't know.
A lot of them probably were before, but I found a lot of friends that work in Illinois are coming up against this question. Come 2020, it's going to be legal recreationally, and their current employer's drug test. And now I've heard multiple people say, how does that law change after the law changes? How does that rule change within the company? Are companies allowed to, because it's not like alcohol, companies can't say you can't drink alcohol, you know, on the job, but it's hard to tell if people are high on the job or if it's just still in their system. So if there's a blanket rule that, you know, per company because of the different things that they handle, or are companies going to have to shift their policy because the law is changing? I know a lot of friends are questioning that now.
And testing for it is not as easy as a breathalyzer, although my understanding is that several companies are developing a test that might be used like a breathalyzer that would tell whether or not somebody's stoned at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the...
Yeah.
The testing now is, you know, you can tell if it's in somebody's system, but you can't tell how potent it is or if they're high on site. So
it's a challenge.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. These human resources directors don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been a constant debate within the industry because they're coming up against medical marijuana now, which of course you have a prescription for.
Yeah.
So an employee could argue, well, you're discriminating against me. I have to medical need for this. How can you tell me I can't use it and come to work and operate heavy machinery? I don't know the answer to that, but there's got to be a legal answer to it at some point. It can't just be an easy change in the law, because that doesn't handle the liability side of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That seems to me like that's the question.
Yeah. And how to handle?
Yeah, it's complex. I mean,
the recreational thing.
How it's going to be handled? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, anyway, that's in Florida. That's where they're considering a bill down there. Now, that doesn't mean the governor's going to sign it, but it's been proposed by a representative out of Boca Raton who would provide employment protections to people who use medical marijuana so that you couldn't discriminate or fire somebody if they're a card-carrying pot user. If drug tests were to come back positive, the employer could give a written the employee would have to give a written reason for the test results.
To me, this is, can you discriminate because people are on other drugs? So if I'm prescribed Xanax, say, my employer can't discriminate against me because of the Xanax. To me, the medicinal marijuana is a little more cut and dry. If you have a prescription to something,
different.
As an employer, you can't tell your employee that they can't consume whatever medically prescribed prescription.
I don't know the answer to that. Do drug tests screen for things like, you know, Vicodin and other drugs that people take, oxycodone?
I don't know.
Those things, in my opinion, that's
impairment.
More so than marijuana. I would rather somebody fly in the plane, like you always say, be high than on weed than on OxyContin. and where does the employer get to step in and say, hey, this is an appropriate level of drug usage for, you know, when does an employer get to Bigfoot the doctor on it?
I mean, I guess you have those things that just as part of your business model, right? I don't know. It's a good question.
Let me get to Jim here on line one. He's got a thought on that. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I work for a company. We have almost 15,000 employees worldwide, and we've got a memo that if you're going to smoke marijuana, might as well pack your bags and go home because that's their rule. And if you don't like it, you know.
Well, that's an employer's decision, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah, you can go work somewhere else, I guess,
but what
is
if you have
the
a
option.
Prescription? Yeah.
But does it cover, did I'll it cover you, medical marijuana, Jim?
No, just, I don't know. I don't know. Probably. I really don't know.
So would an employee have to be upfront about that? Like, look, I have this illness, and so I've been prescribed this, and, like, disclose both of those things? Like, look, I have this disease, and I'm taking medicinal marijuana for it? Or is that not the employer's business?
There's got to be some kind of privacy, right? I wouldn't have to tell you if I was on Xanax, right? Like,
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. But where I work, I don't want people stoned running around.
Lots of businesses. Like, oh, absolutely.
Sure.
I agree.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, we agree with you, Jim. What you don't have to tell me the name of it, but what's the nature of the industry? Is it production or
automotive?
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I'll see you Friday morning.
All right, good deal. We'll look forward to seeing you out there, Jim. Thank
you. Jim.
I used to work with Roger.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. With my father-in-law?
Your father-in-law, right? Yeah. Roger Ramchek.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll look forward to seeing you, Jim. Thank you for coming out.
Okay.
All right, we'll see you soon. Thank you. Interesting. Yeah, that's great. Good. Glad he called in. Here, let me get to Eric here on line two. Eric, good morning to you.
Good morning. I was actually having a very similar conversation with a HR friend of mine in Illinois, and they're a large manufacturer dealing with the government. And he said, based on the government contracts, any contract that you have over $100,000, regardless of the state policy, they have to follow the federal drug rule of zero tolerance.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So you have to wonder how long it's going to be before either. I know several bills have been introduced in the House to legalize marijuana across the United States to change the federal laws. So at that point, does it start to address government policy against it? You have to wonder. They would have to go in and change those regulations.
Correct. But right now, as it is, like, his company's headquartered in the Chicago market, and he said they went through all the courts talking and legal experts and the government, and doesn't matter what Illinois says or whatever state they're in, Colorado, they have to follow. So,
yeah, sure. No, that makes sense, Eric. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Yeah, that's, you know.
I guess that clears up the,
yeah,
even medicinally, if it's not federally legal medicinally, then a company can still
say that, no, yeah, that
discriminate, and what some people would call discriminate. I think it would make sense that a company could say, hey, nobody can do it recreationally, but just the whole doctor's order thing is where it gets confusing.
Here's why I would say in a very short period of time, first of all, given how attitudes are changing about this with younger generations, this will be different within just a couple of years. It'll have to be. And the reason it'll have to be is because it's legal in so many states now that the banking industry is technically can't handle profits from a marijuana growing operation because marijuana is illegal federally and the banks are regulated by the federal government.
Huh.
So I read an interesting article in the LA Times recently.
All the things you don't think about are all encompassed in this one issue.
And I read an interesting article in the LA Times recently where this guy ran a recreational marijuana plant, a place, but he found a place where he could store. He was dealing in all cash, right? He found a place where he could store his cash at the end of the day, but he had an unmarked SUV, like a very plain looking SUV. He would take a different route from work every day for fear of getting robbed as he took the cash to deposit it. Because he couldn't take it to a bank. He couldn't electronically deposit in a bank. I mean, it's causing a myriad of problems across the country. There's no doubt about that. Phil, good morning to you.
Good morning. My point is okay, so alcohol, you know, you're allowed to drink alcohol as long as you're not drunk at work. What's the problem? Same thing with marijuana. long as you're not high at work, what's the problem?
Well, I see your argument there. I think the problem is if they've got a policy against marijuana because it's illegal federally and they drug test, the drug test doesn't screen for alcohol. It screens for marijuana. So
right.
There's got to be a policy change at the federal level before most companies are going to be willing to change that, probably.
I would almost argue the fact that if they legalize it in the state, you know, you're not going across federal, you know, state lines with it. So, I mean.
No. I see your point, but I'm just saying, I mean, you may work for a local company, but let's say you work for Ford Motor Company, who has factories in 15 different states. They're not going to specialize their HR department just for the state of Missouri. They're going to have to have a nationwide policy on drug use. So it's the federal laws that are mucking this up, I would suspect.
I agree with you.
Yep. Phil, thank you, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Mark.
Yep, absolutely. Let me get to Robin here on line one. Robin, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. I just wanted to bring up the issue with workers' comp insurance companies. They're the ones that are insuring these workers. And if someone was to get injured, hurt on the job, they are the ones that are going to test. So, you know, being under the influence, whether alcohol, marijuana, prescription drugs, it would all, I think, fall under that umbrella of under the influence if someone were to get hurt or injured.
Yeah. How do you think it would factor in if they had a prescription for medical marijuana that they had to take it for pain because they had joint pain or whatever, you know, some sort of arthritis problem, and yet they were still able to work at the same time, and then they had to file a workers' comp claim?
Okay. It would fall under the being under the influence because at my job, if we are taking any kind of pain prescription, we have to report it, and we're not allowed to operate heavy machinery during that period of time.
Interesting. Well, and maybe that's one of the solutions to it moving forward. I wonder if more companies start adopting things like that, if they allow it at all, right?
Right. I mean, it's like I said, it's these workers' compensation companies that, you know, if these people get hurt on the job, they're the ones that are going to be testing for it. And if they're under the influence of anything and it's not documented or something, they shouldn't have been operating or shouldn't have been doing whatever.
True.
Then they will not be covered.
Well, Robin, you bring up a great point. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, here's the thing about it is it gets back to the liability issue, right? You have a prescription for medical marijuana. You're stoned at work. You make a mistake that injures somebody else. Whether you're allowed to do it or not, suddenly the liability, you're liable for injuring somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
This is it's a nightmare, right?
Gosh, yeah.
Because you couldn't operate that same machinery drunk. Should you be able
to
operate it just because you've got a prescription?
No, nothing, not at all, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of them are just going to have a blanket policy just to protect themselves. I see that coming. Ken, I got about a minute here. What's on your mind?
Real quick, does anybody see the hypocrisy in the in this simple fact? We have spent as a nation literally billions of dollars on a war on drugs, number one, and number two, more money spent on, hey, no smoking. Let's eradicate smoking. Isn't this the most Hippocratic thing you've seen?
Yeah, I see your point. I mean, in the end, if they end up legalizing it, the amount of money we spend on the war on drugs is going to seem like an even bigger waste. That's for sure.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.